The Holy Gospel for this, the third Sunday during the season of Epiphany, is a reading from St. Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God has come near, repent and believe in the good news." Then as Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat, mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Good morning once again, and may you all be nourished and strengthened from the knowledge of the one who calls and sends, but also sustains us. I remember an Epiphany event a while ago that can become a backdrop for our meditation today, and the theme was splashed and sent. Splashed and sent. It picked up the meaning of baptism and challenged us to be about God's mission. One of the texts during this event came from the Gospel of John, in which Jesus says, "The water I will give becomes for you a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." What a powerful image that is. Water gushing up out of us, spilling out into the world, splashed. We are intended to be life bearers, bringing the fruit of healing, hope, and reconciliation. We are water. Water. Do you know that there are over 2,400 references to water in the scriptures? 2,400. Newborns are 75% water, right? And water predated the solar system. The importance of water. We are splashed to be a missional people, celebrating the gift of water in our lives for one another. Splashed and sent, being purposeful, making a difference in people's lives and in issues of the world. Splashed and sent is a brief description of the story of Jonah. And sent to fish for people, again a water image, fishing, was to be the vocation of the disciples, Simon, Andrew, James, and John, which they knew well. The book of Jonah is a comedy, starring a reluctant prophet, as the text indicates to us. It focuses not on the prophet's message, that is, doom and gloom for the people of Nineveh, no, but on himself. And the point of the account is for the reader to wrestle with, on whom should God have mercy? This little account that we have in the bulletin today does not really do justice to the book of Jonah. Four chapters in the book of Jonah describes how he hated the Assyrians and he wanted judgment for them. And he wouldn't hear it any other way. And so God calls him to go to Nineveh to give them a little warning to repent and maybe it'll be different for you. But no, he didn't want to go. He didn't want to do that. So what does he do? He runs away. He gets in a boat and he's on his way to Tarshish. And of course, then everybody knows how what happened was he ended up in the belly of a whale, right? And then God had the whale cough him up, and then finally, Jonah gets the word that maybe he ought to go to Nineveh and at least give them an invitation to respond. The story speaks to our sentness, our being sent to carry God's mercy and love, even to those who perhaps we have written off. Jonah had to finally accept God's mercy as being greater than his own judgments. And so he finally goes to Nineveh and proclaims God's call for the people to repent and change, and to his surprise, they do. And we read that God changed his mind and did not harm them. This is political, social, personal, and global. We can read in the newspapers the account featuring Russia, North Korea, Iran, other countries, and this speaks to our sense of seeking God's mercy for everyone in the world. Here are a couple of vignettes applying this story. First, for youth, if they're still here. Are there some kids still here that I can talk to? You didn't much like that boy. Well, we can all relate to this anyway. You didn't much like that boy or girl anyway. All year, the class had been interrupted by their shenanigans. A troublemaker. That's one kid no one gets along with, you might have said. And now you sort of enjoy that this person is in big trouble, caught in the act of defacing the class art project. Now there will be punishment, maybe a suspension. Now, how would you feel if this person actually learns from the experience and gets turned around? Maybe you'd be angry if there were forgiveness and a new start. And could you celebrate God's mercy for others? Here's another vignette. The guy is a pain in the neck. All he cares about is himself. And now he's lost his job. Ha! With his attitude, he can't keep that position that involves working with people. Let's write him off. You might have had a hard time altering your view that person should undergo a change. Or it maybe involves your judgment of groups of people where we simply dismiss them and do not hope for a change. That's what happened with Jonah. He didn't want to go to Nineveh because he had decided they were evil people and he wanted them to stay that way and be judged. So he evaded God's mission as long as he could, but then something happened and he finally accepted the fact that God's mercy would even extend to the hated Assyrians. We are confronted with the expansiveness of God's grace and reach into the lives of others. And it goes beyond our own schemes and designs. Scripture's message to us is to believe in God's power to make things new for others, for us. And it means departing from the past, walking a different direction, and allowing others to change, even in our eyes. It means being freed of patterns of thinking and behavior that can be restrictive. How do we feel, for example, when that change or newness happens? Do we want to celebrate it or resent it? Does it upset our system? The experience of Jonah becomes a model as Jesus then calls his disciples. Mark begins his gospel account with the emphasis on John the Baptist. Having completed that story, the spotlight is now on Jesus. He was retreating into the wilderness following his baptism, And then he is interrupted by the news of John's arrest. So he takes up John's message and begins his ministry. He realizes he's going to need help to do it. So he begins to call his disciples, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of people." Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they knew all about fishing, casting nets and mending them. That's the image he used in recruiting them. Were they ready for what was in store for them? Changing their minds about people with whom they had come into contact? Hearing about God's love through Jesus and putting it into practice for themselves? An easy job? Probably not. Experiencing that fishing for people, not fish, is not always smooth sailing. Sharing our faith, living lives of integrity and meaning, having compassion, seeking justice and equality in our world. That's the mission that we have. Well, to get on to our own journeys, we do get down at times, don't we? When we seek to live through the prism of faith, we can feel and experience sometimes others' transformation. We may even in our best moments see how we were even a small part of God making creation better. When we look back, we may reflect on how God used us to make life better for others. Perhaps a time when God broke through and interrupted that situation through the promise of renewal. That's the story of faith. God continues to use us as instruments of God's work. We can make life richer as we answer the call according to the gifts God has given to us. Albert Schweitzer was a German theologian, writer, and musician. Actually, I looked that up yesterday, and it actually said, Albert Schweitzer, theologian, organist, writer, humanitarian, philosopher, and physician, if you can believe all of those different titles. Nobel Prize winner and all kinds of other things, awards and things that were prizes that were given to him. Well, without support from many closest to him, Schweitzer accepted the call of Christ on his life. That was to give medical help to those who desperately needed it. First, he went off to medical school, even though his background did not seem to even lead to that. Then he applied for missionary service, being sent to Africa. He worked there for years and then later returned to Europe, where, among other efforts, as we know about, he advocated for restraints on nuclear weapons testing. Why would such a brilliant and diverse talent focus on giving to others? The quote attributed to him provides an answer. That he said, "Life becomes harder for us when we live for others, but it also becomes richer and happier." Or here's another quote. "The only ones among you who will be really happy are those who will have sought and found out how to serve." How do you experience God's call? Being open to God's Spirit, moving in and among you, saying yes to opportunities that may be unique to you of sharing and supporting other people. There's a group called Dakota Road. How many have heard of that? Dakota Road, a singing group, right? And they had a song called "All Are Welcome," which is based on really today's gospel. And it goes like this: "All are welcome, friend and stranger, at the banquet of the Savior. From the woman who comes crying, leaving tears at Jesus' feet, to the man who knows the right way but cannot see, from the ones who feel forgotten, those who sense their place is gone, to the ones who live in hunger, here you belong. Go into the streets and cities, to the farms and families. Tell about the splendid table. God's mercy. We are about discovering more and more how God seeks to use each of us with unique talents, interests, and gifts. And that applies to the congregation as well. That's the arena of discipleship, splashed and sent. May God's power help you to turn from what weighs you down to a new vision of possibilities. Believing in the good news, God's love propels us forward, giving us strength, nurture, and hope. Amen.